guys my age were raised largely by women. If your dad was off working, you're talking, you know, stand when a woman enters the room and hold the door. And then you find that when you do that sometimes, you know, you're met with disdain, like you're actually behaving in a chauvinistic way. And it's caused guys to, I think, feel very confused.
On today's Daytime Confidential podcast, we welcome back one of our favorite guests, Sean Kanan of The Young and the Restless, who is generating a lot of positive buzz these days for his new book, The Modern Gentleman, Cooking and Entertaining with Sean Kanan. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jamie. I always love talking to you.
Well, we love having you.
No, I really appreciate it. And, you know, it's been really exciting for me with the new book. You know me, I'm always trying to reinvent myself and do new things. And the book has been getting a really great response. Everybody really genuinely seems to like it. So I'm happy to be able to introduce it to your listeners.
Nice. So what made you decide to write a book about cooking and entertaining?
Well, I've always loved to have dinner parties and cook. I'm a guy that really prefers to have, you know, 10 or 12 friends over to the house. Instead of going to a club, and I love to cook for my guests, and I always try and provide the best that I'm capable of providing. And so after a while, my friend said, you know, you ought to consider opening a restaurant. And I'm just a firm believer that if you don't know how to run a restaurant, that's about the quickest way for someone to get separated from their money. And so writing a cookbook seemed to be a good intermediary step. But, you know, the funny thing is the book is only partly a cookbook. You know, I absolutely will teach you how to cook and to organize your kitchen and your pantry and discuss everything from different spices to, you know, a variety of incredible different dishes that I learned to cook in my, you know, my travels around the world and my years living out here in Hollywood. But the book also deals a lot with what it takes to be a gentleman in today's confusing landscape of often mixed social signals. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of time guys feel really confused as to whether or not they're supposed to be, you know, the strong alpha male who takes care of business and problem solves, or the really good listener who's at ease with his feelings and, you know, open with his sense of vulnerability. And the fact of the matter is that it's a little bit of both, and somewhere in between. You know, and I feel like guys have never really had a mentor. Women have had Oprah, and they've had Martha Stewart, and they've had Rachel Ray, and unfortunately guys have been relegated by Madison Avenue in Hollywood to, you know, stereotypes of, you know, overgrown children. I mean, if you watch any sitcom, you know, the guys are always like these overgrown children who are completely incapable of doing anything. And, you know, I don't think it's guys' fault that there's a lot of stuff that women wish that we knew how to do, but a lot of guys don't know how to do it, and that's because no one's ever really taught them. And so hopefully I'm the guy that's stepping up and you know, offering my advice and my services to be a mentor to men of all ages, and offering women a look behind the curtain of the male psyche to see how guys really think.
Well, you mentioned an interesting point with the confusing social cues. Now, with Mad Men and a lot of the shows like that, and tonight I think NBC is premiering The Playboy Club, which shows that old school Dapper Don type guy that, you know, everyone grew up kind of, you know, aspiring to. But then with the advent of the feminist movement, as you mentioned, there's a lot of confusing things like, does a guy open a door for the lady, or is, you know, is a lady going to be offended by that? In your opinion, how do guys balance, you know, trying to be a gentleman with, you know, not offending a woman's feminist sensibilities?
Well, I think that two generations ago, you know, guys like Paul Newman just intuitively knew how to be a guy's guy and still be a gentleman. And I think, you know, we need to try and recapture some of that, that ease with which those guys exuded not only gentlemanly qualities, but being a real guy's guy. You know, the women's movement was terrific for accomplishing a lot of things, not the least of which was, you know, beginning to level the playing field in the workplace for women, you know, beginning to allow them to have, you know, an entree into politics and a lot of other things. But consequently, there was some collateral damage. And I think a lot of times guys were raised, you know, guys my age were raised largely by women. If your dad was off working, you know, you're taught to, you know, stand when a woman enters the room and hold the door. And then you find that when you do that sometimes, you know, you're met with disdain, like you're actually behaving in a chauvinistic way, and it caused guys to, I think, feel very confused. And what I try and do in my book is teach guys how to be a gentleman, how to be a guy's guy, without being relegated the quote-unquote nice guy that gets slammed in the friend box. Right. You know, how to maintain your masculinity, because, you know, here's the thing, we are different. You know, we have to celebrate our differences. Men and women are very different. And it's our differences that tend to attract us and, you know, make us interesting. I think there's this whole movement, it seems, you know, to sort of feminize and homogenize little boys these days. You know, and I have a real problem with that. I don't know. I just really think that, you know, in my book, I show you that doing things that have traditionally been relegated to feminine stereotypes, such as decorating and flower arranging and cooking and presentation and all that sort of stuff, that you can do all that stuff and still be a guy's guy. It's not feminizing in and of itself. One of the things I talk about is flower arranging, and I say, you know, before you dismiss this as being something that's, like, you know, very feminine and not something that you'd ever want to know, so let me tell you about some of the baddest hombres that ever roamed the Japanese countryside, the samurai, because they used to practice flower arranging, which was called ikebane, and they did this because they rationalized that if they could arrange the perfect bouquet of flowers or the perfect singular flower and concentrate all their attention onto that one flower, that it would allow them to hone their focus for the martial arts, for, you know, sword play and you know, karate, all of that. So they figured if you can really focus on getting a flower just so, then you can probably focus when someone's coming at your head with a katana. So I try and show that not everything is always as it seems.
So what do you think, then, of the metrosexual movement, shall we say, that took place in the late 90s and the 2000s?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that guys were allowing themselves to be exposed to is really good. I think that it may have been, the information may have been disseminated in a way that was not the best possible way. I mean, you know, you had the Fab Five from Queer Eye with the Straight Guy, who, and I confess, I totally watched them and enjoyed them. So I'm not trying to diss those guys. But I think that it would be different for them to get some of the, you know, different for guys to get some of the same information by somebody that would probably be a little more relatable. You know, I know also that, you know, guys would come on that show and they would kind of be chopped down to size by the Fab Five and made to feel like they were a little bit foolish and, you know, without any charm or social grace. And I don't really think that's fair, and I don't really think that's the case. I don't think the guys need to be made to feel embarrassed or small because they may not have known how to do something in the past.
So one of the things you're trying to convey is that it's okay for a heterosexual male to be in touch with his feminine side in terms of of cooking and entertaining and some of those things that society has deemed, you know, a womanly role, but that it's okay not just for a gay man or a metrosexual man, but you're saying that it's okay for a guy's guy to be in the kitchen and gotcha.
Absolutely. I'm not a big fan of the whole term metrosexual and all that stuff. I mean, that to me implies, you know, there's a quasi-femininity to it, which, I don't know, it just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, I think that you can be an absolute guy's guy and, you know how to cook and decorate and do all the stuff that's in my book and not have to be relegated to some kind of a pigeonhole of being, you know, a metrosexual, which has largely come to imply, you know, there's the old joke, what's the difference between a metrosexual and a homosexual? Two margaritas. So I just think, listen, you know, I also wrote this book largely, I wanted it to be as pansexual as possible. And by that I mean I wanted it to be something that a gay guy could read or a gay couple could read and find value in it too. Because although there are a lot of differences between, you know, gay men and straight men, there's still a lot of similarities too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want anybody to be able to read it.
I think what you're doing is really cool because, I mean, of course, gay men have been allowed to embrace that side. But, you know, one thing that's always kind of irked me is, you know, when a woman embraces masculine qualities, it's, oh, she's just a tomboy. You know, you'll see Holly Robinson Pete tweets all day long. Of course, her husband is in the sports world. But, you know, if a man... you know, if a man is tweeting about his love for decorating and, you know, whether or not he's a homosexual or not, it's going to be inferred.
Right.
But with women, that's one thing that I guess the feminist movement has made okay, that it's totally okay for women to talk sports and all of these
right.
things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. It's almost a reverse misogyny or, you know, reversed sexist,
speaking from personal experience because I grew up in a family where football was king, so the women, the men, everyone talked about it. I wasn't into football,
right.
but I knew
right.
fashion, and so it was right. like, why are you looking at that soap opera weekly? You know, so it's always kind of been a double standard with females that, you know, it's okay
for really a
woman
good point,
to know the whole yeah. Dallas Cowboy stats.
Exactly.
No, see, that's you, your you second book.
Have you had the chance to be right? Have you had the chance to look at the book at all?
I have read, the galleys and the press stuff. I have not had a chance to sit down with the actual book yet,
okay.
but you can
okay.
best believe after this interview, I am going to get my copy and encourage our readers.
I really hope so. I really hope so. I'm actually, you know, I'm doing a series of book signings, over the next, month or so. And I really hope that, you know, people will come out and get the book or if they've already gotten the book, come out and talk to me and let me know what they think about it. And, you know, I'd love to hear what people who are fans of the book have to say, and I'd like to incorporate some of those ideas into the next book. So
nice.
if I can make a few shameless plugs, I will be doing a book signing at the Barnes & Noble Bookstar this coming Thursday, September 22nd, from 6 to 8 p.m., and it is on Ventura Boulevard. And then I will be doing another book signing October 9th at It's Just Fabulous, which is in Palm Springs, and I'll be doing that from, I believe that one is in the afternoon. But you can find all of that stuff on my website, which is www.SeanKananTheModernGentleman.com, and all that information is on that website.
Nice. Well, it sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's, you know, I'm really trying to position this as somewhat of a movement. Whose time has come, you know, and I'm really trying to help guys discover what already exists within them. You know, it just needs to be brought out, and that there's a, you know, the chef inside of everybody, and there's a, you know, everybody has an eye for aesthetic, and all of that. It just needs to be brought out, and I think that it's a great book for women to buy the men in their lives. You know, if you've got a boyfriend or a husband, and maybe is falling asleep at the wheel a little bit in the relationship, it's a great book to reignite you know, to reignite, I would even say passion, to teach the guy in your life how to cook and how to do some of the things that, hey, maybe he wishes he knew how to do it, just was afraid to ask, because I think traditionally society hasn't made it real comfortable for guys to ask how to do a lot of this stuff.
You know, when you mentioned how the samurais worked with the flower to learn patience, I was thinking, I'm like, hey, if you can learn patience to work with that flower, maybe it'll teach you patience with the other flower.
That's right. That's right. From one thing. Exactly. There you go. From one thing, no 10,000 things.
Right.
That's absolutely right. I really draw on a lot of Eastern philosophy for this book. I reference Sun Tzu and, you know, a lot of stuff that I learned growing up studying martial arts. I bring to both my cooking and to you know, to my sense of organization and decoration and all that sort of stuff. So I really try to write and put in this book the things that I wish somebody had taught me years ago.
Nice.
Lifestyle programming is really big right now. Would you like to see your book be the basis for a talk show featuring men discussing what it means to be a gentleman?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I was in New York having a meeting with a production entity, multimedia company, and they would like to turn this into a television show, and hopefully that's going to be happening over the next year.
Nice! Congratulations.
Thank you. I'd be very excited. I think we've got a real good shot here to make this happen. And, you know, the show would be sort of a cooking, lifestyle, pop psychology relationship hybrid.
Mm. Nice. Now, you have made a career out of playing baddies. Everybody knows you as Bad Boy Deacon and Bad Boy AJ and the bad boy from the Karate Kid movies. So are you having, you know how a lot of times, like with fans, you know, you see certain people and you just think, you know, like if you see the guy from Boardwalk Empire, Buscemi, Steve Buscemi,
right,
you automatically think, oh my God, he's going to order a hit on me. So when people think of you, they think of, you know, in a more sexy, dirty bad boy way, but do you think your fans are kind of like that it's an adjustment for them that, you know, here's Bad Boy Deacon and, you know, be a gentleman?
Well, I think when they read the book, they definitely get a sense that, you know, that I like to bring a hint to the bad boy to this book. You know, if you talk to most guys I know say, how come, you know, all the women I like, they think, you know, I'm a nice guy, I could slam in the friend box, and how come all the women, all they're interested in are the bad boys? And what I'm really trying to teach you, in addition to everything else in this book, is that, you know, you can be the bad boy, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a gentleman at the same time. You really can be both. And so I think that's an interesting characteristic that I show you in this book that I haven't seen anywhere else.
Nice. Well, I'm intrigued. I cannot wait. I will help promote the heck out of this. I would love for you guys to.
He's going to get that book, and he's going to have an Elvis kit.
Oh yeah! Get that Elvis kit, man. Put it together. I'm telling you. But Jamie, read the book and let me know what you think. Give me a call or email me, and let's talk about it. Because I would love to know your thoughts after you've had a chance to read it.
Will do, man. Will do.
All your listeners can follow me on Twitter to find out, you know, where I'm going to be signing the book, etc. It's just Sean Cannon at twitter.com.
Yeah, we will definitely. We'll post all your links, definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about Y&R for just a little bit.
We're big
fans of Deacon and Nikki at DC, and with Thomas Scott back on contract at Y&R, will we be seeing Deacon mixing it up with her again?
I have no idea. I at this point in time have no more shows booked for Y&R. I've been off the show now for, I don't know, maybe like 7 weeks. My management called the show and they said that I will in fact be coming back, but you know, I have no idea if and when that's actually happening.
Well, you know, so, I'm never giving up hope on Deacon coming back to The Bold and the Beautiful. I've loved your stint.
That would be great.
I've loved your stint on Y&R, but there's just so much history, especially with with them reigniting the whole Rick Amber storyline and Jacob Young is coming. I don't think you worked with Jacob Young. I think it was Justin.
No, it was Justin.
Justin was D, yeah. Was Rick then, but still, I mean, you know, there's little D out there.
Hope
and Hope is now a grown woman.
I completely agree. I think there's a lot of rich material that could be played. I mean, you know, I just hope that if I do in fact go back, that I'll be used. I think Deacon is such a great character, and it's just, you know, it's very frustrating to see that the powers that be will bring people on from other shows and not utilize the actors that they have at their disposal. So I don't know what to tell you. In the absence of that, I continue on looking for other projects, doing other projects, and you know, if I'm available to come back and they call me, I would.
And you've produced, you've done a lot of production and writing of your own projects, and with us. With soaps moving online, is that something you'd consider, like possibly doing your own soap?
No, I haven't considered that at all. I really haven't. My interests really lie elsewhere. I am in pre-negotiations right now to star in a very cool independent film, which it's one of the best scripts I've read in a long time, and I think I'm probably going to start shooting this one. So I'm just definitely not thinking about doing any kind of soap online. As you get older, I really am cognizant of wanting to dedicate my time to projects that I want to do. You only have so much time to give everything, and I really try and make sure that everything I'm doing is something that I want to be a part of 100%.
I hear you. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, tomorrow's not promised and life is short, and what's that they say? Listen, The Modern Gentleman, Cooking and Entertaining with Sean Kanan sounds like a great new platform for you. Like I said, I'm going to get off of here and get my copy. We're going to post all of your Facebook and Twitter information, and we're going to post a schedule of your upcoming appearances. Sean, thank you so much for being here with us, man.
Always a pleasure talking to you anytime, and I wish you and all your listeners the best, okay?
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.